Okay, so I'll be talking about matrix models, mirror symmetry, and transignment theory, actually probably in the reverse order from this. And this is work I've done with, this one was with Kumran Vafa and Marcos Marino. And this one, on this one, the Albrecht Klemps have joined us. So, well, as you well know, this talk will involve topological strings, and interest in topological strings comes from the fact that, well, in part, from the fact that they compute some of the amplitudes of the physical superstring theory. In fact, there are two different kinds of topological strings corresponding to two different ways to twist the Calabi-Yau signal model. So these are, and I'm talking about topological strings on Calabi-Yau threefold. So there's a topological A model where amplitudes correspond to counting of holomorphic maps from Riemann surfaces into Calabi-Yau. In particular, they depend on Kähler moduli of the geometry. And there's a topological B model, which in the context of closed strings is related to variations of complex structures on the Calabi-Yau. And so in the context of, again, closed strings, topological strings are relevant for n equals 2 supersymmetric four-dimensional compactifications, where for type 2A on a Calabi-Yau A model is relevant for computing superpotential-like terms of the following type, where here W is the Gravity-Photon superfield and T is the chiral vector superfield of the n equals to 2. So this is this amplitude is computed by A model for type 2A and the B model for type 2B. And there has also been a lot of recent activity in the context of open topological strings. So topological strings also admit boundaries on D-brains. And these are relevant for n equals to 1 compactifications, where they compute, again, superpotential-like terms, now D2 theta terms. So in particular, amplitudes at Gino 0 with arbitrary number of holes are relevant for Gugino quantization. So this is the Gugino superfield here, W, different from this one. As you also know, this is very closely related also to computations of superpotential terms in just pure gauge theories, where one can completely forget about topological strings. But in my talk, the players will involve not really D-brain theory, so not just gauge, not just the pure alpha prime goes to zero limit, but also string effects. So this is the motivation for studying topological strings, and what I will do in this talk is as follows. So as is well known, So in the context of closed strings, it is well known that type 2 string theory has mirror symmetry, which relates type 2A on one Calabi-Yau and type 2B to the mirror Calabi-Yau, and correspondingly then relates a closed topological A model calculations on one Calabi-Yau to the B model calculations on the mirror. So one has a link relating these two things, essentially Kähler gravity and the Scudero-Spencer corresponding to complex structure deformations. Now, a while ago, it was shown that there is a very nice realization of this Hooft large N conjecture in the context of topological strings in the A model, which relates open A-model topological strings, which are related in turn to transignment theory, as I will explain soon, to closed topological strings. And also recently, it was shown that there's a similar relation in the context of the B model, where matrix models appear. So there are large end dualities relating open and closed topological B model strings. So in addition, so one has basically a diagram with kind of three sides, and it's natural to ask whether there's in fact also a commutative diagram which relates A model open and A and the B model open strings, so that you get a diagram which commutes, and this is essentially what I will show in this talk. So open topological A model strings, they admit boundaries on three-dimensional Lagrangian submanifolds of the Calabi-Yau. So for example, they would be relevant for if one considers the six brains wrapped on three cycles of the Calabi-Yau threefold. Now, in simple cases, as Witten showed in 92, that the full topological A model string reduces on such a deep brain reduces to a three-dimensional topological theory on the manifold that the deep brain wraps, which is true Simons theory. Namely, topological A model open strings are related to counting of holomorphic maps with boundaries on the deep brain, and in the simple cases, the only holomorphic maps which you have are really degenerate maps where open strings can shrink to a point. And the theory which you get that way is just Chern-Simons theory. The fact that you get precisely Chern-Simons theory is as a string field theory is related to the fact that that string field theory of D brains is also Chern-Simons theory. So for example, one can consider cotangent space of S3, namely a deformed conifold. So there is a one minimal S3 sitting at the tip of this cone, and you can wrap n d brains on this, and the topological string of this is just U and Chern-Simons theory in S3, where the string coupling constant is related to the level of Chern-Simons and n. The rank of the gauge group as follows. Okay, so in 98, Gopakumar and Vafa showed that there is a dual closed string theory to this, the U and Chern-Simons theory, obtained by summing over holes in open string diagrams, just out hooked, and they showed that. At that time it was a conjecture that a dual closed string theory lives on a manifold obtained from the deformed conifold by geometric transition, where the size of the S2 of the resolved conifold is related to NG string. Is NG string. So that this becomes a geometric parameter. So this dual closed string theory is counting holomorphic maps from genus G Riemann surfaces into essentially the only holomorphic curve which you have in this geometry, which is precisely the minimal S2 sitting at the tip of the cone. And Chern-Simons theory is solvable, so you can compute the open string amplitude, and you can organize it in this form. And you can show that it agrees with a closed string amplitude in this, which is also a simple object because there is only a single minimal curve. And the closed string amplitude takes the following form. So you can expand this genus by genus, where S is G string N is the size of the P1. So one natural question you can ask is whether whether there are generalizations of this duality to more general geometries. And so to explain this, and the answer is positive, and this was essentially the subject of my first paper with Kumran and Marcus. So so for this, one should recall a relation of Calabi-Yau geometries with certain PQ5 brain webs. Namely, there's a large class of Calabi-Yau manifolds, which have been studied a lot in the context of mathematics, which are, which are T2 vibrations over over base, which is essentially R3, where the various PQ1 cycles of the T2 fiber degenerate over lines in the base. And if one considers M theorem such a Calabi-Yau threefold, then M theorem T2 type to be on S1 duality relates to PQ5 brain webs. So this is just a graphical tool of telling you essentially what the essential features of the geometry. So for example, for the deformed conifold, there are you get just two PQ5 brains, a 0-1 brain, a D5 brain, and an NS5 brain, and they're separated, which are separated. So so over this line, there's 0-1 cycle of the T2 which degenerates. Over this line, there's a 1-0 cycle which degenerates, and the manifold which you get is so this gives rise to an S3 in this geometry. This is the S3 in here. In these terms, it's very easy to see that this manifold has a geometric transition, namely the fibrins can touch, and then well, this is kind of a singular point which can be resolved in two different ways, where a 1-1 brain opens up. And over this line, well, at these points, all cycles of the T2 degenerate, so well, only one is finite here, so you get a P1 and S2 in this way. Okay, so well, this can be generalized. Well, one simple generalization you can consider is you can consider different types of PQ5 brains generating two different types of PQ5 brains like this, and then there's one PQ cycle degenerating here and another one degenerating here, and you get a 3 manifold. There is an equivalent way to think about this picture, where this half of the picture is just a solid 2 torus, a 2 torus which has been filled in, and this half is also a solid 2 torus, but they're glued together by an SL2Z transformation of their boundary. So this picture is this way of thinking about these geometries and these particular geometries provide a realization, I mean a physical realization if you wrap D brains on them, of Witten's solution to Trim-Simons theory by non-perturbative methods, where he showed that Trim-Simons theory on a 3 manifold can be solved by cutting the manifold into pieces, which are then glued together, which are then glued together, and you can well in this case. This is related to WZ. The Hilbert space of Trim-Simons theory is related to the space of conformal box of WZW models, and the SL2Z transformation is just an operator in the Hilbert space. So you can write down what the amplitude what the corresponding partition function is, and then go back and re-expand it in terms of perturbation theory, namely in terms of ribbon graphs of Trim-Simons. So Which is basically the sim the which is the quick which is the quick which is one of the ways of getting the topological string amplitudes. So you can consider more complicated geometries where you consider kind of transimuth quivers. So here there are only three minimal S3s, which all of which are three manifolds, which all of which in this particular case turn out to be just three spheres, and they're isolated. And if you wrap debrance on them, they will of course be open strings stretching between them. So so you get a quiver theory. So because they're now open strings stretching between debranes, this gives rise to another ingredient of the transimuth theory, which are knots and Wilson loop observables. And this involves also knots of transimuth theory. Namely, you can integrate out this topological matter, which in this particular case is just a minimally coupled scalar. This is just a one loop integral, and this corresponds to insertion of the following operator, where this is a path order exponential of the gauge field on a knot on one S3 and this on the other S3. So so this one loop integral is just an annulus amplitude, of course. So this corresponds to the fact that there are annuli which stretch from three manifolds sitting here to three manifolds sitting here. But in this particular case, of course, the matter fields between here and here and here and all these three manifolds pairwise in this particular configuration. So on each three manifold, you will actually get a link corresponding to simple knots like this. These holomorphic annuli, they correspond to open strings, and their endpoints are charged. So under the gauge field on the debrane. So this gives rise, in fact, not just to a geometric knot, but to insertion of a Wilson loop observable in transimuth theory. And the transimuth amplitude on the stream manifold is obtained by gluing together solid tori, not in the vacuum, but with a Wilson line around the one uncontractable cycle. And for example, this stream manifold here, a 0-1 brain and a 1-0 brain are related by an S transformation of the two torus, which exchanges 0-1 cycle and 1-0 cycle. So the corresponding amplitude is just the S matrix of the WZW model. So it's very easy to write down the full amplitude corresponding to this geometry. It's given by it turns out that integrating out open strings, which are of course in fundamental representation, corresponds to inserting operators, as I said here, which where the representations on the two boundaries are correlated. So so the amplitude corresponding to this is a rather simple object, would be given by Z is sum over, well, there are three representations, R1, R2, and R3. So you get things like R1 W, V1, V, let's say A, R2, then R2 on VB, R3. And the propagator here also contains, the annulus has a length, which is R, and the propagator is just the number of boxes of the corresponding representation. And there is one more term here. So this is a simple object which can be evaluated easily. The closed ring side, on the other hand, is very complicated. Sorry. The closed ring side is very complicated. What you expect to happen is that, what would the Lagrangian dual theory be? You expect that, locally, the story is the same as in the context of Gopakumar and Vafa. Locally, three manifolds here will be replaced by P1, which looks like this. For example, this picture here. But then the total geometry is more complicated, so you would get something which looks like this. Sorry, I reversed the picture. The reason why this is complicated, you can see in terms of PQ fibrin webs, namely every holomorphic curve in the geometry gives rise to a BPS state, and a BPS state in terms of PQ fibrins is a PQ fibrin string web. A PQ string web. So there are BPS states corresponding. So there are many such webs you can draw in this picture, and they correspond to holomorphic curves of various genera and degrees. For example, this corresponds to a genus 1 curve at degree 3. This geometry is essentially it's a Del Pezzo surface. This local piece here is just a P2, and this has a single class, and this is the degree of this class. You can expand. You can sum over the holes in the open string diagrams, and then the partition function is of course e to the free energy, and the free energy. E to the free energy now of the closed string theory. And Gopakumar and Vafa also conjectured in a different work. They conjectured that the free energy of closed strings, the closed topological strings, that means of closed topological strings, A model strings, has the following expansion. Essentially, it is counting. It is counting BPS states, and N here is the number of BPS states corresponding to curves in the Calabi-Yau of genus G, in whose class is labeled by M. And this is just e to the mass of the corresponding state. Up to some n dependence, which is essentially multi-covering. So you have a prediction for what the closed string amplitude should be. What the closed string amplitude. You know what the closed string amplitude should look like. You can definitely evaluate this from the from just looking at open strings. You can extract the integers corresponding to numbers of BPS states. So we did that, and the power of this approach is that you can go to very very high genus and also very high degree, which would be very difficult to obtain directly. So for example, the curve which I drew here, the genus 1 curve at degree 3, There are 10 BPS states corresponding to coming from that curve, but then there are many more of them at higher genus and numbers of degrees. And then you can go to this is genus 33 and degree 12. There's perhaps one question which you could ask, which is, where's the meat? I mean, you get a very complicated answer from something, from input, which is very simple. In particular because, so if you consider three manifold, some three manifold in a generic Calabi-Yau, there will be many, there will be many holomorphic curves with boundaries ending on it of various genera and degree. And what do you expect to happen in the Lagrangian limit? Well, this three manifold will shrink and will be replaced by an S2, if this is an S3, right? So then you will get, essentially the old curve where the boundaries go away times an S2. So it doesn't seem that, the input can actually be much simpler than the output. And this is related. So how can this be? The way this comes about is that in this particular geometry, there actually are many more holomorphic curves with boundaries on D-branes than just the holomorphic annuli, corresponding to the fact that there are many more complicated matter couplings than just minimally coupled matter, which gives you annulus. But there's a nice deformation argument which tells you that only holomorphic involving moving fibrins and so forth, which tells you that only holomorphic annuli can actually contribute to the topological string amplitudes in this particular setting. So this is just a very clever configuration, which allows you, for example, to count numbers of curves. So actually, the numbers which I showed were just corresponding to just the P2 when the size of these legs, which is n g string and a g string, where a is the number of d-branes on the S3 from which this P1 came from, when this you take to infinity. So in fact, taking this to infinity, you get a... What is surprising here is that you get a non-trivial geometry, which is a P2, and also, as you take ng string to infinity, there is also no flux. In other words, in physical theory, d-branes disappear, and they're replaced by flux. But when the size of the P1 of the P1 here goes to infinity, the flux goes to zero. So in this way, you can find Lagrangian duals of geometries without any flux at all. So basically, the message of this part is that in the context of A model, this open closed string duality provides a way to calculate all genus A model amplitudes exactly. And one can in fact do this for much more complicated geometries. All of these are what they're called local toric geometries, but you can get all genus answer for essentially any local toric geometry exactly up to deformations. So as I said, there's mirror symmetry which relates the topological A and the topological B model, and these give rise to mathematically very different problems, of which the first one, the topological A model, is vastly more difficult, just mathematically. So then it's instructive to ask about mirror symmetry of these configurations. So by mirror symmetry, you would be led to considering considering topological B model open strings. And as you know, Diagraph and Bafa have studied these recently, and they showed for n B model D branes, meaning here D branes wrapping a holomorphic, essentially a P1 in the Calabi-Yau geometry, the topological B model with boundaries reduces to just the computation of a matrix integral, where in examples they studied, phi was an n-by-n Hermitian matrix corresponding to deep brain moduli. And this depended on some bulk moduli of this open string geometry. Bulk complex structure moduli 9 of the open string geometry. And W here was the space-time superpotential of the deep brain, the disk partition function. So the story is very similar to what one has in transimons, namely, you get ribbon graphs of the matrix model by expanding the matrix model about its critical points, and the ribbon graphs are just topological B model open string graphs. And so again, you get just a point particle theory, but this time it's not a three-dimensional theory, it's a zero-dimensional theory, just a matrix model. So just geometrically, the critical points of the superpotential are places where you have holomorphic P1s, and the formations of this live in a family parameterized by phi. And you can calculate the superpotential as Zinoppel-Jacobi map, an integral of the holomorphic 3 form with a boundary on DS2. So one can, of course, try to push this program for the mirrors of the A model geometries. Mirror symmetry relates this A model geometries to manifolds whose, well, so for example, for a three manifold for this configuration in the A model, the mirror manifold which you get has complex structure which is determined only by these four integers, and mirror geometry is a resolution of, well, this singularity looks kind of like a conifold, but the left hand side is replaced by somewhat more complicated functions of U and V, which are coordinates of the Calabi-Yau manifold. And for deep brain, which sits at this point where x is 0 and y is 0, and f left and f right vanish, u and v are normal directions to this deep brain. These geometries are somewhat more different than the ones Boff and Digraph studied, in that u and v here are actually periodic, related to the fact that on the A model side there was a torus in the problem. But the three manifold which you get in the A model is now mirrored to a P1 in the B model, P1 corresponding to resolving this. The only subtlety is you can essentially push the Digraph-Wafa prescription, but the only subtlety is actually that is in the measure of the path integral, namely. The measure is that induced from the space of unitary matrices. Okay, so let me explain this somewhat. So, for example, you can consider this geometry corresponding to in the A model to, let's say, 1,0 and 1,1,5 ring. There's a P1 sitting here. And you can think about this P1 as obtained again by gluing two holomorphic disks, except that on the left disk you have that V is equal to 0 because this is where this is what pinches off the cylinder to a disk. And on the right-hand side, you have V prime 0, where V prime is V minus U. So the partition function is just an overlap of the state corresponding to V 0 here and V prime 0 here. Now, the formations of the D-brain in the U and the V directions turn out to be canonically conjugate. And this is related to the fact that that U and the V direction, which are periodic, are the imaginary parts, a mirror to holonomies around the 1,0 and the 0,1 cycle of the T2 in the A model. And for a single D brain, the Trin-Simons action is just as follows, where these are the corresponding holonomies, and you can see that the same action you get also in the B model directly. So deformations in the U and the V directions are canonically conjugate. So an operator which takes the V prime vacuum to the V vacuum is given as follows, where W is just phi of U squared, if V is what vanishes on the endpoint. So, alternatively, you can show that that the superpotential of a D-brain in this geometry is precisely given by phi u squared over 2 by computing the period of the holomorphic 3 form. So this gives you the superpotential. Now, in the Calabi-Yau threefold, as I said, U is periodic with period 2 pi I. And because of that, the Hermitian matrix measure, the measure on the space of Hermitian matrices is replaced by a Haar measure. Namely, if you want in the eigenvalue basis, the determinant from the Jacobian, from the change of variables, which is in the for the space of Hermitian matrices, is this, gets replaced by a periodic measure by also including images of the images under phi goes to phi plus 2 pi I. However, while the measure is the measure on the space of on the space of unitary matrices, the theory is not invariant under U goes to U plus 2 pi I. Namely, if one endpoint of if the north pole of the D brain is at V is equal to 0, and the south pole at V is equal to U, taking U goes to U plus 2 pi is not a symmetry of the theory because the D brain gets longer, it gets more massive as it goes around. So while the measure is that appropriate for unitary matrices, the integral is unitary matrices. U is e to the phi of U. The integral is not of the group space of UN, but over the space of Hermitian matrices. So in other words, the measure is just the measure on the tangent space of the UN group manifold. But you do integrate over the full tangent space at a point. So combining this with mirror symmetry, in fact, gives you a matrix model for Trin-Simons theory on three manifolds obtained by, well, more generally than this, obtained by gluing together two solid two tori. And given that positions of the D brain, in other words, at phi, is directly related to holonomy around the cycles of the T2. One would naturally expect that one can in fact do this directly in the context of Trin-Simons theory without ever mentioning the B model or matrices. So, in other words, this is closely related to canonical quantization of Trin-Simons theory on T2 cross R, as done by Elitzer, Moore, Zeiberg, and Labastida and Romalo back in 89. For example, the determinant one gets from by integrating over the angles in the matrix model is just the square root of the determinant. It's just the ground state wave function of Trin-Simons theory actually not on T2 cross R, but on a solid 2 torus. In that, there are slight differences from their work, because one is really not interested in Trin-Simons theory on T2 cross R, but on a solid 2 torus. And correspondingly, an operator which takes the 1-0 brain to 1-1 brain is a combination of T and S operators of transthymus theory is precisely given by e to the trace of u squared over 2t string. So one could have derived the matrix model just essentially by considering canonical quantization. Plus the fact that one is really interested not in transthymus theory on T2 cross R, but on a solid 2 tortoise. And the matrix model of amplitudes, such as this, this path integral are easy to evaluate. In other words, you can just evaluate the full path integral by elementary algebra. And one can derive the TST matrix of the WZW model just from elementary algebra again in terms of the matrix model. Moreover, one also has a matrix model representation of Wilson loop observables. This just corresponds to insertion of e to the trace. Of e to the trace phi in representation R, because phi is just mirrored to the holonomy. So this gives you essentially all the tools which you need to calculate the amplitude, for example, corresponding to this geometry. So this is just the mirror of the geometries I considered in the A model. Of course, the pictures are the same because the pictures are the pictures in the base of the Calabi-Yau threefold. So this doesn't see the T3 fiber on which you are dualizing. Or anyway, so one can rephrase the calculation I did in the first part of the talk purely in the language of matrix model, where now you also have matter stretching from one P1 to the second P1, but there's not a single matter multiplet, but there are an infinite sequence of them corresponding to strings winding around the cylinder n times. So this is all very simple, and all the calculations of topological A model amplitudes, which I've done using transthymus, can be redone this way without any knowledge of WZW models. So so you can consider more general geometries corresponding to, well, at every intersection of these, you get a transthymus theory, or in the mirror language of P1, then they're connected by holomorphic annuli of various sorts, again in the language of transthymus theory, and you can evaluate all of this. You can evaluate the open string amplitude and take the Lagrangian limit to recover the closed string amplitude. So this gives you a matrix model description for counting of holomorphic curves in the non-compact Calabi-Yau threefolds. This was expected mathematically. For example, for target space, which is a point, one does get a matrix model that was shown by holomorphic maps from Riemann surface into a point, shown by Koncevich in 92. It's also known that you also get matrix models when target space is just a P1, but you can also get a matrix model.
What does it mean for a map into a point the holomorphic is constant?
Yeah, right.
So what are you counting?
So you're essentially dealing with moduli spaces of Riemann surfaces.
There's
moduli space, that's right. It's not just the map and the moduli space of the map, but also the curve. So one other generalization you can do is you can consider Lens spaces, S3 mod Zp, and wrapping the Ibrahims on them. Doing calculations in transthymus for this is a nightmare because, well, transthymus theory is a theory on a compact 3-manifold, so it automatically sums over all the vacua. This, of course, wrapping the Ibrahim on S3 mod Zp, there's a choice of a discrete holonomy corresponding to the fact that H1 of the space is not zero, but it's Zp, which breaks the gauge group. However, transthymus theory on the space will naturally sum over all choices overall choices of the discrete Wilson lines because the space is compact. And to recover a question, which to recover the piece which is interesting for physics, of, for example, D6 brains wrapping on S3 mod ZP, you need to know how to isolate the particular flat connection. However, in the B model, this is very simple to do. So first you got a theory wrapping a D brain on a P1 here. You get a superpotential, which is just keep the notation fixed. It's 5, which is just P times the superpotential in the previous problem. And but now they're actually P vacua corresponding to the fact that the minimum of the superpotential are at V is equal to 0 is equal to P times U, but U is periodic. So you get P vacua distributed around the circle. And you can choose how many D brains you want to wrap and you want to put in each one of the vacua. So the matrix model is essentially the same, except it, with phi of U replaced by P times that. But then you have to choose if you're interested in perturbative expansion about which vacuum do you want to expand about. So then you can evaluate the partition function, for example, at genus zero, just by perturbation expansion. So, for example, at genus zero with this corresponds to just S3 mod Z2, where P is 2, and then you just have two vacua. The gauge group is broken to UN1 across UN2, and so by perturbative methods you can evaluate, for example, the genus zero amplitude with 4 holes from ribbon graphs, or genus 2 amplitudes with 2 holes. And you can organize this in terms of in terms which are appropriate for the closed ring, namely as now perturbative expansion of the closed ring amplitude in T1 and T2, where T1 and T2 are roughly the sizes of the two P1s. But now you only have this as a power series expansion in T1 and T2. So this provides a way to calculate the closed ring dual geometry when S3 mod Z2 shrinks is essentially P1 cross P1, where the two sizes of the P1 correspond the sizes of the two P1s correspond to how many D brains you put in each vacuum, and this provides a different way of evaluating topological A model amplitude of this geometry. Of course, in addition to this, you can, solving these models perturbatively by summing over ribbon graphs, you can just take the you can take the planar limit of the geometry. Which is essentially standard from using matrix model technology. When you do take the planar limit, what you recover is the closed ring geometry of the mirror B model. So, in other words, you can directly convince yourself that that the diagram which I wrote down which I showed in the beginning of the talk, and the transparency which I apparently cannot find now. Sorry, give me just a second. That diagram, in fact, commutes. Okay, I give up. So anyway, you had the topological A model open and closed strings, and the B model again open and closed strings. For example, I gave you a matrix model for Trans-Simons theory, corresponding to B model open strings, which are mirrored to Trans-Simons in S3. You can take the planar limit of this matrix model. In the planar limit, what you see directly is the planar limit is given directly in terms of the Calabi-Yau geometry, which is mirrored to let's say in the simplest case O minus one plus O minus one over P1. In other words, you get an answer in terms of a Riemann surface, which is the essential piece of geometry, plus a one form on this Riemann surface. So in other words, if you know in 89, if you were studying, you know, canonical quantization of Trans-Simons theory on three manifolds and rewrote it in terms of matrix models, as you might have, and then taken the asked about a planar limit of this matrix model, I guess you would have recovered a mirror of this geometry. Perhaps you might have discovered also what large dualities of topological strings that way too. I don't know. Anyway, so this is all I wanted to say about this. Of course, this allows you to evaluate. To evaluate superpotential type terms on large class of Calabi-Yau manifolds with and without D-brains. Of course, the most remarkable part of this is the fact that we've learned that we can evaluate non-perturbative effects by perturbative methods. And it would be really good to understand whether this must give you some kind of a general lesson outside of this context as well. But and it will be interesting to know, how to apply that outside of these particular classes of models. But it does seem that perturbation theory is much more powerful than we have ever suspected. And this must be general at a level of superpotential kinds of calculations. So this is all.